I were waiting for the synopsis. Ladies and I have said the members of our South African district, who would you want so that you can even be the researchers and people of education? What would you like some of the hindrances? What item issues should be extracted from the discussions that are going to be our resolutions in the South African perspective? Can we just discuss why we should be in there? Can anybody Malik? add one is not, it's not arguable. But the issue of race and class, he has money, and he's a white man. Violence is not associated with white men. And he has issues as a black man. He said he's 28 or 26, he says, no, I don't want to fuck out. He's a baby boss, he's not my boss. But because he's a black man, even now, we extend where he pay out. And also, I think the other thing is that we need to look at. I know people were very critical of the judge. Until like there was also an input in this person, what do you call it, in the mainland Guardian newspaper. But I could, when you read it, it's from the main perspective. The media didn't, only after the judgment, that was Justice Malala, brought in two feminist analysts to come and give the perspective from feminist perspective, feminist point of view. And I asked myself, is it not late? Because if you were looking in the media, they had criminal cases experts who were all men. And the result, the case was just treated as a pure criminal case with the perspective of domestic violence. That's where my program started. That is, okay, media has no rights, but at the same time, it shapes the direction of the case. That's where we need it. And I was saying, okay, the women's case was there. Maybe a body like this would have given also its own, maybe an opinion piece in the newspaper. At the end. But you know, this whole thing we have found an epic. I was one of the people who were left saying, hey, Ferenel is nailing that one. It's not arguable. But when the verdict came out and people said the judge deals with the evidence in front of himself or herself, I said, hey, I wonder, didn't we need something somewhere? And then there was also, I think for me and the committee, addressing the backsliding from 44 to 40. That's a critical issue for us, right? That we need to look at. And this body, the organ, the caucus, which is not attached to any government, that will be able to push the way forward. You know, there was something about speaker's experience. And I was asking, I wonder if the caucus made any statement. We'll be talking as women, what is the political touch? Despite all the weaknesses that were cited, what she did, and I kept on asking because I was following it, if it was a man, would she be treated differently? That was the question I had. Though I wanted to be objective, but it kept on coming back. I wonder if she was a man, would she be subjected to this? Okay. I think people, and honorable members, the importance of the standard gender protocol, gender and development protocol, supposed to be guiding what we need to do. Abstand as part of the package that it should be put, you can get it from the website. I send it and then I ask the client to print it. Because it's supposed to be our Bible. That's where we draw our money in this corner. Otherwise, I'm just talking, the Constitution allows us. As the heads of state signed in 2008 in Botswana, that we are binding ourselves. So it's a legal document that we say that we need to look at. When we do our plan, we need to look at the outside of the world. Where are we? Because you can't plan without knowing how far are you. Otherwise, the enemy is going to beat you in your own game because you don't know where you are.
Talking about the overlapping of the two committees.
said I wanted to comment, and somebody seconded what you said. And they said no, there is no more overlapping somebody. Fortunately, she was content. I don't know whether it's the center of the women's group. What does this mean? Content, as I offer. Fortunately, we're content. You see now, and what comes out here, I think Mali will be able. It's issues that also relate to the other community, of which members of this committee were very skeptical to talk about them, because they said they thought it's not their area of responsibility. It is good when, if it comes from the standard TF, that they realize at the end that this is the other committee that inculcates everything. And the other one, yes, definitely the monitor. But I'm just happy that we are going to understand what is our responsibility and also how far we go. So, computer, I'm very happy about that. Because this, I want to comment when you were talking about overlapping area. Because I know the two committees have a problem, a very serious one. And up to last term, it wasn't clear. And even now, it's not clear. It's good that we have in our committee to, we got a chair of a, not here, she's not here today, she apologized, she had to go to save the end for something. She had a committee, we got a chair of the other committee, bound by the rules, of course, that she should be in the steering committee. It's good that we get a some of the resolutions that we are going to be going to when you talk about the resolutions of the Southern PF, so that we understand that we are not doing any wrong, there's no wrong in articulating some of them, and also talking about them in our respective committees, because that is how the multi-party works.
Honorable Jamil spoke about social issues like family, teachers, etc. I'm just thinking maybe we can also add land issues when we're talking social, because you find that in some rural areas, women are not allowed to own land. Sometimes if a husband is late, the son will have to take over, and then the mother becomes the subject of the son. I think it's important that it is legislated. If it's not, I'm not 100% sure, but I know some rural areas do give women, but others, it's totally not done. Land only belongs to men. And then women were expected to get married and not allocate the land. Maybe while we're dealing with social issues, for the end, the land issue. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's acceptable that you mentioned this, but I just wanted to show you that it's not going to come up on the region from the society and other critical stakeholders. That's why you can join in and maybe we can dwell on it. It's a very important thing.
Okay, thank you, Secretary. You know, we talked in the morning about being a member of COCA, but we stay in the other committee. We can talk about issues of land, And then when you go to that community of land, you are able to raise it. For instance, if you arrive to your community, it does not mean that you have changed, you are no longer a woman. You don't have the issues of that. That's the strength of this community. You take the issues from this community that were raised, take them to the community, from the focus to the community where you stay. And also when we work in our constituencies, that's where some of these things would come from. You take them to the community. You take them also to the various other communities where you stay.
Thank you, Chakasin. If you still remember, in the morning I said 30 p.m. is moving towards becoming SADC Parliament. So if the language is changing, which is very difficult, grappling with terms like motion, resolution. As a result, a week ago we had a two-day workshop. There was an official also from this parliament. She went to, what does she call it, in one of the senior clerk of the desk or something, very experienced woman, trying to help us about the language. When do you talk of the resolution? When do you talk of the motion? And it becomes very complicated if you are to translate it into Portuguese, into French, find that they don't have certain terms. If you are talking of a resolution, they translate it differently. And it might land with a different, completely meaning from what they understand. So for today, we were working on that. And I must say, South Africa helped us a lot, because they got lots of material guiding us in Russia. This is how you deal with it. This is how you deal with it. Because the practices are different in all the countries. For instance, you find that a country that are influenced by West Minister, they operate differently from Sangophone countries. As a result, when you are in the plenary, there are certain things that waste a lot of time try to come into help with it. So we had that workshop. But the resolution of the regional women's parliamentary caucus, first we looked at the language. We took the resolution from our meeting. We presented it to what you would call the house or to the plenary, which was supposed to be adopted by the plenary. And we were not sure whether to say resolutions or motions. And other people say this is a motion, it can be discussed and nothing happens after that. But the second resolution that we presented, it was the mandate, the terms of reference, what the RWP is supposed to do. Maybe it's what I presented in the morning, but we had to link the resolution to the rules procedure number 19, which mandates the RWPC to act as RWPC. But what came out strongly is its lobbying and advocacy role, looking at a pretty good representation of women in political decision-making positions in SADC member states, in line with SADC protocol on gender and development perspective. What we have just spoken about, that if we talk of CCC, it's not a substance. It's a policy issue that were taken by heads of state, with the exception of two countries, Botswana and Mauritius. South Africa also committed itself, but how to exploit that as the women caucus. Establishing a platform for women parliamentarians for the purpose of mobilizing a women's agenda for equality, equity, and effective representation of women in parliament and political parties. But it does not end there, this mandate. For instance, if we are saying 12.1 of the protocol, governance, the representation, we don't end there as a region. We need to also to go to the country. Hence, the RWPC has taken it upon itself as one of its programs to ensure that each country has got a multiple women's caucus. I gave the countries of Zimbabwe and of Zambia. which enjoyed being mentored by South African Multi-Party Women Caucus and UN Women Fund such initiative, facilitating opportunities that seek to build the capacity of women parliamentarians for effective participation in political activism, creating avenues for knowledge sharing by women parliamentarians at regional level. We have also capacity building programs, as I said in the morning, in leadership skills, Chairperson also mentioned about something about assertiveness. When men are the leaders of the committee, you find that you are not sure whether this is the right thing. It's difficult to express these things because you are going to be labeled by men. When running with your number and not yet, so petty. What is the gender thing? To such an extent that other women will be bad, except to those who are 60, and they do it deliberately to make you get discouraged. It's not easy also even for us as officials. Especially if you are someone from another country, South Africa. You are always reminded, oh, that South African is here. She's going to start her things of gender. So you need to keep on talking about it, asking questions, and we support each other. That's the main thing. And then we have Resolution 2, which is areas of focus, priority projects for the next 5 years. This was one of the recommendations that over and above that we need to have projects for us as the RWPC. Like the National Women Caucus, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus, you are supposed to have your own project. Of course, it derives from the gender protocol. What are we doing? Like the Honourable Mother said, are we all democracy in the panel? What about the other areas? You'll find that the barometer looks at all areas, private sector, public sector, the department, everywhere. They look at everywhere. Judiciary. These are informed by Cyber Secretariat Gender Unit Priority Areas. What you are helpful of is that we don't come with projects. There's no proper mandate. If you still remember, I said, since we are becoming a parliament, like as a legislator, if you are saying you are doing an oversight role, your oversight is over the executive when they do as committees, when they do their report. In this context, what do we do as SACPM? Because we don't have any executive or cabinet in this staff. We agreed that, okay, let's have the recommendations that will be taken by, let's have everything that we do, our standing committee, let them be aligned to SACPM secretariat. So everything that we do is aligned to SACPM gender unit. The gender unit of SADC works with the ministry, specifically ministry on gender or ministry on women's affairs. So everything that we do is aligned to that. Even the resolutions that were taken, there are those that are internal and those that are external. External, they can share with SADC secretariat and other parliaments, so that parliaments also know what we're planning to do. SADC Protocol on Gender and Development. These resolutions were informed by the CEDAW, the Beijing Declaration and Platform of Co-Action, the Maputo Protocol to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights and Rights of Women in Africa, the AU Solar Declaration on Gender Equality in Africa of 2004. So as the secretariat or the official, you need to do your homework so that you say, okay, we are taking these resolutions. Are they talking to these protocols so that we don't do something that is not aligned to this? The RWPC affirmed that parliamentarians should play a critical function in facilitating the domestication and implementation of the protocols and framework. The mandate that we give as RWPC. As the RWPC, that there's no point that we talk at the regional level. It must be decentralized to the country. That is, the countries have signed, they must follow the rules and not make it fashionable when we have to go in New York. You find that so many of us are starting to collect data for your report. I should have said the resolution 3. And we're still focusing on the areas of focus. You just remember I said we need to look at strategic plan to be conducted from gender perspective. The panel, including the chairperson of the president, the South Mauritian court, agreed that the RWPC should have a strategic plan. As a result, we were trying to raise funds. So that RWPC has been there from 2008, championing the 50 vision. What are we going to do beyond 2015? The strategic plan is going to make us ready for 2015 and beyond. I'll talk when I talk about the gender parameter. What other sectors are saying for 2015? Unfortunately, the legislative sector, that is our sector, hasn't said much in terms of influencing the agenda from the MDGs, from the gender protocol. And then that was accepted, and as the secretariat, specifically me, I was given a task that I must go and look for funds to have the strategic plan, where all the chairpersons of the region will be at that meeting or that workshop meeting. Look at where we come from, where do you want to go, and get prepared for 2015. And I stolen it from the members that all the time women found netting, that we are not told that 2015 is here, this is what the continent is saying, this is what global is saying. South Africa must be able to say, this is what we are saying as MPWC. And then the other thing that was the plenary, if you remember, the proposed relationship between RWPC and UN Women, Southern and East Africa Office, aiming at building the capacity of RWPC to be effective in its role, that one was endorsed also. If you still remember, we looked at five areas of impact: leadership, domestic violence, economic empowerment. The plenary endorsed it. So that relationship, it must go on. We're still waiting for UN Women to tell us what is it that they want to do with us. There's another project that has come up, funded by VIDA in five countries. I think it's more. Sexual and reproductive health rights and HIV/AIDS and others to be implemented in partnership with RWPC in countries such as Swaziland, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, Zambia. I've forgotten the fifth one. These are the countries. There's that money, lots of money over 5 years. That program is going to be implemented in those countries. It was such a hot potato, I must say. The chairperson of RWPC was, you know, she's so red, saying you as secretariat, you sat down and came up with a project without consulting us. Where does this project come from? And then the secretariat said, we approached the countries, wrote to the countries, asked the countries to indicate their readiness to join. These are the countries that responded. Unfortunately, South Africa was not there. I don't know whether you'll be prioritized. Because there's this thing in that South Africa, some of these things, they are ahead of everyone else. So there's that project that is coming. The funds are from VIDA, 5-year project, prioritizing in the 5 areas, in the 5 countries. And then another issue, the RWPC thinking of going to New York, seeking accreditation at the 59th UN Women Conference, 9th to 20th of March 2015. We were given a task as a secretariat to explore possibilities, which we have done. Seemingly, we can't, we are late for accreditation. Number two, we need to piggyback to a country. Look at a country that, look at all the countries in the region and see which country, which issue is common amongst all countries, and you take it from there. Shape a project around that RWPC, and you piggyback onto that country. I don't want to seem to be wanting to go with South Africa all the time. You'll be the last to be approached. But we've asked the countries, one issue that is coming up strongly from places like Mozambique, places like Malawi,
the child's marriage. Uktwala. I don't know whether it's still an issue, but you have been given that chance to find out in countries. What are you taking into New York? And then if with that country that says we are going to join forces with you, we know that whatever event we have, we will run in the venue of that country. An event that will raise awareness. So, my Party Women's Caucus, please speak to me, Honorable Chairperson, about an issue that South Africa will take to New York, or an issue that we think is critical for South Africa. I have mentioned the two countries that have said child marriage is so easy. It's quite a huge issue. And then the plenary agreed that the absolutely make a best statement to support the Bring Back Our Girls campaign. The chairperson has made the statement. It was translated into French and into Portuguese. And we sent it to the countries, the segment, and it's in our website. After a lengthy discussion, what does that mean? Given against what is the AfroBPC wants to do, if you still remember, the issue of human trafficking is vital to AfroBPC. That was the resolution 3. This one is the resolution 4, the governance issue. The two names were endorsed by AfroBPC. Honorable Nyeleti Mojane, a member of parliament of Mozambique, as its chairperson, and our deputy is Honorable Thulisile Dlamini, a member of parliament of Swaziland, as its vice chairperson for the period 2014 and 2016. So we have the two people. Yeah, at the beginning of the workshop, I conveyed a message from Honorable Montiani. Do you remember? Yes. Our chairperson. And then there was this empowerment slogan that is supposed to go with all our letterhead. Women are power. Yes, we are. And that was also what they thought. That's option. This is a way of sharing with the members, since we missed the 35th plenary assembly in Mauritius. Thank you. What I didn't share is in the minutes that I've given to everyone. Out of the blue, sometimes the countries are not warned. When we go to the plenary assembly, the countries are asked, share with us the status of your women's caucus. How is your gender representation? What programs are you running? What are the challenges and assess? I just want to share with people that when you go directly with the statistics, because sometimes countries are not asked, it's in the middle of the meeting when you hear that members want to say, what are you doing with the assembly today when you think?
Thank you. Those are the resolutions from the Sun and PM. Before I go any further, welcome Honorable Chair of the House, Togo Ndiza. That is our mother here. Is can do that. Or certainly. We're just saying that. I'm not really long. Outside. I don't use it. Because I know I used to attend all these meetings in the Southern and also in the continent, Samoa, where people who are going to go to the meeting are being pointed by the chief position. And really, you can give us a certification from that country. I think it's been South Africa was there. This is our mother. Yeah, and just commenting, I told you, but that's the reality.
Comment is separate into what you have just said. I think the chaplainship and deputy chaplainship, for fairness, it rotates. For instance, South Africa has just been a chaplain, so we couldn't get anyone. So you look at which hundred, and you know how you are as politicians. By the time you arrive at the panel, people have voted. Yeah, they've agreed. You say chaplain position. You find that Mozambique has been there saying Mozambique. Anyone, any other name is done. There's no discussion. Deputy chaplainship is not as done. Swaziland never had the opportunity. Yes, I always ask myself, contain myself, control myself all the time that I must not look to my deputy with those eyes. Because there's a big difference between her and Honorable Monjani in terms of thinking. But the only way is that we hope, since they are part of the group, they are making. For instance, we have a critical case now of one member, a lady who just lost her husband. And I'm asking to them, where's the Honorable Monjani? She's in mourning period for 2 months. She does not even go to Parliament. Can you say 6 months she's out of, you know, how many things is she missing? These are the issues that we are facing with the party. You can't challenge them alone. You have that and say, okay, maybe as the time goes on, they are going to see the cost of this long or money period that she can't participate in many things.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wouldn't comment on the issue of the chair and the deputy chair, but I think that has passed. But for me, what probably we might need to do as the South African Multi-Party Caucus is to reflect on the resolutions that have been taken, to see to what extent those resolutions can be brought down to our own situation and how we engage women in Parliament broadly beyond the committee so that they also are appraised of what are the resolutions that came out of that conference. And probably one of the issues at some stage Chairperson might need to reflect on is how do we bring in the legislature, women's caucuses, to be part of the mainstream in terms of reflecting on some of those issues. I think it also touches on the issues of our engagement with civil society as multi-party. Earlier on, I think the question of land and inheritance was raised. While I agree with the presenter that yes, portfolio committees are but one platform in which such issues can be raised, but I think the multi-party caucus, even that in itself, in its own right, is a parliamentary structure, it can raise issues, make pronouncements on resolutions, or even, you know, ask the House to take particular positions on those issues. So one of the important things about the multi-party caucus, which I think, as South Africa, we might have to discuss a little bit, how do we see our role as multi-party women's caucus in the South African's policy, both in the legislature and outside? while we may be members of churches, there are those issues of constraints that may constrain us in terms of party positions. But at the same time, what are those issues that we can take collectively as women across the board, regardless of our party affiliations? As I say, that for me, it's a matter that we ourselves will have to engage on, and also as we reflect on those resolutions and how we might make them practical in reality. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Without any waste of time, because I don't see any other end. You want to say? Yeah. Maybe just for you coming, I must say, enlighten the chair, the honorable chair of the House. We have dealt with quite a number of things already. We have, there were very heated up discussions here, and very good discussions coming out of the members here. After we had been given the program of JT's and Regional Women Parliamentary Caucus by the presenter, and what came out here mostly, it was the South African effect. We have agreed right now that the scribes will isolate issues out of it. That will be a part of our plan. And we also had issues that were extracted by the presenter from SADA PF resolution. And I think there are a number of things. I think it was suffice to say, I think it needs your concern about the whole thing. But we will be doing more of it at the end, maybe tomorrow, and dwell on the South African perspective as we have said. So, So, you know, I don't know whether you're part of the two meetings. So, because I was late enough. So, I said, after the presentation, well, I'm just going to keep this meeting because she has to join the meeting now.
Yeah. Chair, I wanted to comment on the issues of resources that just because the chair has sent us here now. Because when we talked about resources earlier on, she was not there. It is unfortunate that whenever we talk about resources in terms of funding these committees, the decision makers that give us the resources. So for us to redress some of the issues that are there that we have identified, the training, capacity building of members within the committee, even within discussions that we have to implement these resolutions, we need more resources. And we want women that are there, or even men that are there that are in power, to speak on behalf of us in terms of providing the resources that we need. Especially that you complaining about the handpicking of these women in different parliaments. For them to be in the same power and same understanding, it means more workshops, more interaction with other women. So going to countries and looking at some of these things and also understanding the perspective that they are being brought to the committee, why they are being brought there and all that, it needs resources. So more resources need to be pumped by different governments into strategy so that it's not only restricted to chairpersons of committees, but a number of women go into those workshops and interacting with other women to do their work and run effectively in the committee. Thank you.
Honorable, so is there anyone else? Okay. Now we'll allow Rokita to give us the two barometers, 2018 and the 2014.
I've tried to focus here at home,
the 2013 parameter, gender parameter, which is used to measure the performance of the region on certain protocol on gender and development. It's an initiative of Generally, an NGO, which works closely with another civil society organization. It's a regional or SADC Gender Protocol Alliance, which looks every year at how each country is doing in terms of gender equality against the protocol. And over and above that, you'll find that in each country they work with an NGO. For instance, in Namibia, it works with the Namibia NGO Forum. In South Africa, I think it works with the SAWIT. Generally, it works with SAWIT to look at how the country is doing. It's a big document. I think you can find it in the website of Generally. But I've listed the executive summary for 2014. And 2013, I listed also the breakdown for South Africa, looking at the legislative sector, not to at all the sectors. The government, the Article 12.1, the representation, political decision making,
You are saying this came from the Middle East, yeah, with an NGO.
And the next region, it went also with the other gender unit. That is the Sariat. The Sawing, I think, is the NGO that it works closely with.
It's
supposed to be an annual event where you will see that it's being launched by journalists, maybe with an international donor. But if you go to the website, you find out that the 2014 barometer is working in South Africa with SAWIT, even in the launch.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to indicate that SAWIT is still in existence. GenderLinks is a non-government organization. It would work with universities at times, you know, your gender units. It would work with other NGOs to do whatever study on gender. But for the barometer, I think it's an initiative that GenderLinks on its own has started, but they work with a number of organizations to assess whether countries have, how have they performed in terms of the SADC gender protocol. So what usually SADC gender unit does, they actually look at the work that journalists have done, but sometimes they work with them to undertake such studies because it does not have enough resources to do that study on its own as the SADC gender unit. So sometimes they subcontract or work in partnership with NGOs. Thank you, Chair. You are indeed correct that maybe we need to establish things. What happened is that at some stage, I think 2 years ago, the different chapters of SAWID wanted to restructure SAWID from what it used to be, which was in a sense trying to formalize the structure. And I think that process took its own route and had a bit of some hiccups, and that's why there was a bit of a lag. I think it would be important maybe for the National Gender Machinery or the caucus to re-establish things to understand where they are, how they work now. But MATE is still one of those coordinators of SAWID, and the Sikondo Trust which used to support it as its patron is still there.
Go on, Madam. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the high caucus, the only the government issue, which is privatized by the legislative sector, specifically the regional women's parliamentary caucus, Article 12.1 is the preservation, political decision making. You'll get it in the SADC General Protocol and Development. Current Singapore in terms of 2014, 50 gender parity goals. I'm looking at the country of South Africa. In Parliament, in 2009, we had 44% of women. Currently, we are standing at 40% in the 7th May 2014 call. I'm sure now it's confirmed it's 40%. Because they were also saying 38%, but the recent ones that I've seen is 40%. In provinces, we have dropped from 41% to 87%. Cabinet remains at 51%. The proportion of women premiers dropped from 55% in 2009 to 22% in 2014. In 2011, in local elections, women's representation dropped from 40% to 38%. I'm looking at national parties. I've not captured all the parties today. Out of the 249 ANCPs at the national level, 115 46 are held by women. This is a 4% decline from 2009, subject to the 5%. In GA, women hold only 27 of the 89 seats, which is 30% in 2009 to 31% in 2014. At provincial level, women's representation in GA declined by 4%, point from 35%. GF has got a whopping 25 seats in salary, and of which only 9, that is 35%, are held by women. ISP out of 10 seats in parliament, only 2 seats are held by women. After that, I'm looking at the legislative sector, because that's where our interest is. I look at the services that are carried by the barometer. Which you call it the wellness rights. South Africa misses the opportunity to keep the 50% that is required. South Africa has steadfastly refused to adopt a legislative quota, leaving this to the whims of political parties, suggesting that if we had a legislative quota, things would be much better. I think the members are better informed to decide whether this is a match or a fishing, or is it something that can happen, or is it something that can't happen if we have the legislative quota. So presently, the parties decide whether we want 50% or not. Others will say we want to do the 50%. Members, if you want to join, you must get in according to your qualification, your skills, capacity. The main opposition, DA, has always been averse to quotas. And in DA, we all know that it's the main leading opposition with more members. Ahang, led by a woman, only got 2 seats And out of those 53 decided not to come to Malawi, and the 2 seats were given to a man. Am I correct? Which is also a flat metaphor for us. My next question is, what can we do? What do we think we can do? I've made these findings and also suggestions. The main suggestion for me that has come out is that the comparison was meant to show that even if the ruling party adopts the reserve and have the 50-50 in its list, but if other parties are not following, we don't know the outcome of the election. It might be a shocking. What do we think we can do? I think that's the lesson with us. I would okay, isn't it? Perhaps Shepherd is something that we need to look at. Yeah. There are also a need for an overarching strategy that responds to all the above cited strategic deficits and which enables the RWC to take a leading role in driving gender and poverty agenda beyond 2015. I don't know if this should be. Now I'm looking to 2014 barometer. What are the conversation? The 2014 is not yet at the end of 2014. I think what gender leads did, working with the gender unit, Zawi, Nangov, and also various NGOs in the region. They have this new slogan saying that the time is now. The clock is ticking. We're heading for 2015. Are we ready for 2015? The sectors are making proposals and actually this is what we want to see happening. For instance, the debate of global. Globally, the focus is on the shape and nature of global development beyond 2015. How should it look like after the SDGs? Here, the thinking is informed by global considerations, such as the HDR Human Development Report, which highlights challenges confronting the entire world, the 3 E's, economic, that is finances, mainly in Euro, and trickle down global, energy, lack of alternative energy sources, ecology, climate change. If we look at this, these are some of the things we talked about, the economic empowerment of women. You still remember in the morning. And also, we talked also, women being unable to attend women's meetings because of their gender reproductive roles. These are affecting all countries, specifically developing countries, specifically poor women, the ecology, the climate change. If we don't discuss the climate change, we fulfill the disaster. If we do not discuss the economy, if we do not discuss the alternative energy, we are missing the most. So these are the discussions globally. And if you look at them, they affect all the countries, specifically the developing countries, and specifically poor women. The June 2012 UN Conference on Sustainable Development, known as the Rio Plus 20, adopted a standalone sustainable development goal to attain gender equality and women empowerment and health everywhere. This goal has been unpacked into 11 specific gender targets. The thinking is that beyond 2015, the language is going to change. Instead of talking of millennium development goals, we are going to talk of sustainable development goals. And it is said that the UN has adopted a standalone goal to attain gender equality and empower women and girls everywhere. This goal has been unpacked into 11 specific gender targets. I'll tell you something. Why I'm sharing this is because we have this strategic plan that we are doing. How do we strategize around the issues, specifically those affecting us? Continental, the African Common Position in and five gender equality concerns prioritizes the following. Based on outcomes of the consultative meeting, by African Union. Africa prioritized adoption of human rights approach to gender equality, which has been unpacked into four targets. In other words, if we talk of human rights, we should also know that we're talking of gender. At the same time, gender equality should be taken as a human right issue. It should be not supposed to be negotiable and say the gender issue is important. It is a human rights issue. Adoption of a reproductive and sexual rights approach to gender equality. That's what Africa is saying. Hence, the ICF has got that project, ICF project, on human rights and sexual reproductive rights. Gender mainstreaming has been once more adopted as a strategy for gender equality. That's what Africa is saying. Because sometimes, I'm sure you've heard also as members, the moment you talk of gender mainstreaming, people don't want to see. I don't know whether people are already set up the buzzword that's been there, we don't see any difference. Or sometimes you find that they use it to hide behind. But Africa as a continent has again adopted gender mainstreaming as a strategy. What does the study region say? In the study region, important stakeholders, the government, proposed that the study gender protocol be packaged into cluster, schemes, targets, and quantifiable indicators. When I say stakeholder, I mean the study gender unit, your study gender links, civil society organizations, including the Alliance of Study Gender Protocol, and many other NGOs. They have met to talk about how should the study gender protocol look like beyond 2015. If you are looking at it, we have 43 articles, which have got 28 targets. How far have we gone? They say, okay, now let's shrink them and have them in 5 clusters. The clusters that have been prioritized is gender responsive government. I think we talked about it a lot this morning. Government is actually caring about gender issues. Not only caring, there should be indicators. There should be reporting. There should be gender disaggregated data. If you say this project is going to benefit women, when you do the reporting, we need to see the data as one measure and many other measures. Economic and climate justice. I think we talked a lot this morning about economic empowerment of women. And also climate justice. I think it takes it on also from the global. Because if you talk of climate justice, then climate change comes into the spotlight. And we all know the effects of climate change. Who suffers most in those instances? It's poor women who don't even have insurance. The women's rights. I think SADC is trying to shift from, yes, we do talk about gender rights, but within the gender equality discourse, let's look at the women's rights, the rights of women to sexual. Which these, the five clusters, talk to the approach or to the priorities of the continent. Voice and communication. Voice communication, they go on to unpack it. Accountability. We need accountable government. In other words, if that is a legislative sector, if you say you are going to do it oversight, don't just. It should not be just a bad way. Want to find out you have not been going there to account to the people who have voted you. Gender management system. Also, it's a way of tracking down the performance. That it's not an event or you wait until the end of the year a gender link to come up. But having said that, I've mentioned the factors that I have made, but the legislative factor cannot match in the region to make its input. Hence, we say that after UGC, we need also to have our strategy plan and also to meet with after UGC to say what are our priorities. Such priorities, we can't have them until a country, this forum or caucus, look at these and country and say, this is what the nation is, what the nation puts on. Thank you, Dr. President.
Thank you, Madam Nomkita. Taylor, you have your barometers, gender barometers. Maybe we can have questions and discussions. Honorable Madi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Because this is a scientific instrument that was used to measure the outcomes of elections, especially related to women representation. I think all of us, we have a responsibility to go back to our conferences and reflect, because we've all dropped. The ANC has dropped. Other political parties have dropped as well. So it's a negative reflection on us, you know. Women representation, whether we have maintained the status quo in terms of the number that we voted for, or we have dropped, it has two upsides. It meant that we given an they cannot have an upper hand on the representation that is going to what disadvantage women. If we had 40%, we share that 40%. I think it needs to be a principle. Well, my political party, I know that debate is there, we can always debate about it. I will not be in a position to then talk on behalf of other political parties. But I think that's the posture that we need to take as women from the ANC in particular. If we get 50%, it means we are going to share 50% equally. It cannot mean that women must drop. And we need to apply the, what is the center? Yeah, the center must apply, that's what it says. So, talk of the ladies. Yes, she's also affected. I think that's the name of the observation that one has made. You see that this is researched, we can't argue about it. It's a true reflection, and it has a negative impact on women. When we lose seats, when we lose seats in parliament, then it means women are the ones who are going to carry the burden. But when you look at the people, the voters, it's women who are voting in majority. So we need to be able to be flexible and fight for our position.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Also welcome the presentation. So depressing. We've been always proud that in South Africa we have gained so much in terms of women representation. The target date of 2015, the Brenda was saying earlier, we might have missed the South African record. We only going back to election 2019. We have local government elections that are coming in 2016, I know it's after 2015. In fact, these statistics, if you can do the head count now, is worse than what is. Because for local government, you're talking about elections 2011, a number of activities that has happened to municipalities between then and now, where there were female handlers, whether she resigned or what, they are replaced by men, a big area, especially in senior positions, they are replaced by men. It means that our responsibility is more than what we think, because that statistic is talking to 2011. I am not sure, Honorable Chair, whether we want to say we'll wait and do nothing until 2019, or is there anything that we can do in trying to lobby there's lobbying that we can always lobby. There is always some vacancy that comes. If we put our cards clearly before a vacant comes and say if there is a vacant that has to be filled, we as this committee or caucus requesting that it be replaced by women, other than us waiting for 2016 or 2019. I think that is what we must do as women.
I'm following your body language.
Maybe to the presenter, one thing that I missed in your presentation, when you presented the barometer, I think it was the 2013, 2014. When you drilled down to South Africa, you looked at parliament as a sector, but when you went to parties on the next page, you looked at the national representation of the ANC. And then in the DA, you also looked at the provincial. And I'm not sure whether it was just a sampling, because it would have been good to look at the national and then break down on all parties and see how does that reflect, and then provincial to do the same. But also what I missed, maybe you left out deliberately. When we look at representation, even in parliament, we only look at members, women, you know, members of parliament. It didn't drill down to the constituencies within parliament as to why you might have this number of women in parliament. But when it comes to portfolio committees, in the leadership of those committees, in terms of your chairperson, how does that representation look? Does it follow the same pattern or is there a change? If you look at provinces, you only looked at premiers, but you didn't look at the speakers, for instance, who are the heads of parliament. How does that look if you make a comparison between 2009 and 2014? Same in the provincial committees, which are also governing structures in a way for decision-making structures at within the parliament. So I'm not sure whether the barometer does do that or it doesn't, because it would actually give us a better picture. And at a municipal level, I'm not sure whether gender use barometer do trace, even within the year, the changes that Mam Dlamini was outlining that happens on an annual basis when you have got by-election. Do you see that you know, it advantages women further, or does it actually enable them to increase the majorities that they might have lost in the beginning when the election takes place? So I just thought something wasn't clear. And when you look at 2014 barometer, are those issues the indicators of how the assessment would be made in terms of, you know, that assessing how governments have performed? Or is it outside of that? That wasn't a bit clear to me. But also even with the AU, I hear you are saying these are the issues that the AU are raising as an issue. Is there a standard around which you would look at the indicators in terms of compliance of countries to what the AU requires, so that when we read your statistics, at least we can have a sense of what we are measuring? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Would you like to respond?
Thank you, Chair Pepe. In terms of statistics that I've provided, 2009, 2013, and I touched on South Africa to 2014, because my interest was to show the sliding back of South Africa, because I'm working with the parliament right now. The barometer makes such a base with
the local infrastructure. That is, this is what is happening. The interest is at the national, at the country. Coming back to why I prioritize the ECA in the province, I prioritize the as a government party in Western Cape against the reflection at the national level that it didn't follow the quota. And I really went to look at it at the provincial level, and I didn't take it further than that because my interest was at the national level. And then the 2014 barometer, Honorable Chairperson, if you look at it, it's not the assessment of how the countries have done, because we're still in September. I think it came out in May or in June. It's a preparation for the post-2015 agenda. It's the time is now. It's get ready. It's not how the countries have done, but I don't know why they call it the gender barometer. But having said that, I look at the issues. If you look at the from global, people are starting to talk about how post-2015 should look like. From global, continental, and also regional. And I've provided also the handout where, for instance, the AU over and above is like over and above the area that they have listed. They've unpaired them into indicators, if you're in a handout, but I listed just the area that the AU suggested that we should focus, the continent should focus on, hoping that the members, when they sit down, it's part of the materials that they will refer to. Like the if I come from the AU, I said that the AU has listed this and further attacked it into 11 indicators. You look at the region, it's got 5 centers that it has for 5 teams, but over and above those 5 teams, it has attacked them into 5 centers and also split them down into indicators, which I thought maybe South Africa within the region is an area that it will look at. It's part of the handout for the members, but for presentation, I didn't get into detail. Yeah, 2014 barometer is not a reflection of how the countries have done, but I must be honest, I was itching. I went out of my way to do a research for South Africa. I even, without you, I mentioned it in the morning, that my head of department stopped me for the chairperson's speech in June, citing South Africa as a country that has been today. And said, no, we don't have confirmed the result yet. Let's wait until we have confirmed the report. So I went there to do research about South Africa, how it has done, party by party. The reason why I've broken it down party by party is the question that I raised. What do you think we should do? I've realized that the government party does not want to have the quota legislated. And I said, subject to debate. Many people will say, if we legislate them, this will be the disadvantages and advantages. And then I decided that, okay, over and above that, let me add that this is how South Africa has performed. The 2014 as a barometer, looking at how each country has performed, is not yet out. What they have is that this document is that they call the time is now. Hopefully, at the end of the year, there will be another barometer, but I know generally I've approached the bank that in the day if we can have fun, work with the legislature better because we don't have our act together. What do we do beyond 2014? What is our input? Input comes from various sectors but not from the sector. If we buy into this, where do we, what input can we make it then? I don't know whether I've answered you.
Thank you. You know, maybe let us suggest something. Because we are going to have our researchers and people who are working the content in the content that is our center, and someone is dealing with
can they, according to us again, the question that was raised, make a label for us as a South African Catholic, so that whenever we go to any meeting, you know, in the continent, we are able to talk about what is happening in South Africa in the process. Yes. Because it is quite scanty. I thought it is not giving us exactly what is happening. The 2013 and the very much with the reason that they are giving us is quite understood. But we can make our own startup sentences. But give the local government, the speakers, and all the other areas also. Yeah, this morning we spoke about the judiciary and all the other areas. Is that fine, but if we deal with it in that manner. Yes. So I suppose what time is it now? It's 3:10. We managed to reach the hour of the tea break before time, although we started late. We short circuited some things. I don't think people would like to have tea at the moment because we just had our lunch. Can we go on to this last item, address, so that after that we can have just a tea or stretching and then come to discuss. So I
the conversation 2014 global. A conversation and strategic vision from civil society and other critical stakeholders. But what we have not yet to is the question that I raised. What we can do after I presented the statistics. Like I said, I gave the reasons that South Africa does not want to legislate the culture this day. The DA is also averse towards social, and I gave also
to adopt a legislative quota. Leaving this with their what?
What does it mean?
The wheels of the
quota. Yeah.
Is that one piece?
We have a legislation that what it means, that forces political parties to observe the contract today. Or is it every political party decides on how to do it?
I might be very sensitive, but you know, the way it is put there, I don't think it has connotations to me, if we can put it in another way. Because it's really not what it's saying. Maybe other people will feel somehow. We are not as comfortable with how we put up. If anyone, if you feel that it's a true reflection of what is happening, but I think we could really modify and put it in a proper perspective. I think it's true. If there is no legislation that forces parties to take a 50-50, it is left to parties to decide whoever they want to put. They can put two women, they can put one woman. Nobody will force them to do that because there is no legislation. Earlier on I gave an example about a legislation that compelled a business sector in Norway, somewhere there, in the Scandinavian countries, that compelled business people to put those women as chairpersons of boards because they've been saying for years
that the government has been, they put women in and they say they can't fight these women. But when government put punitive measures against those companies, that they were going to be delisted from their stock exchange, that's when they put women. Where did they find these women? Even now in South Africa, that is the argument that women are not capacitated enough to take those leading positions because there is no legislation that compels them. There are no punitive measures, even if, yeah, there is no legislation at this point in time that forces parties to put women in. Everyone can do an open anything, just like our constitution. The constitution is there as the law, and they will divert it and say, in terms of the top five, it doesn't say a top five position, we will have a 50-50. 50-50 must be with additional members. Because it suits them to manipulate that constitution. We try to put there as a law, but it is always manipulated. But you have to be specific for people to do the correct thing. And that's my opinion.
Anyone with another opinion? Okay. Thank you, Chair. I can't quote statistics, but as far as I know, the Scandinavian countries are far in advance of any other part of the world in their representation of women. And I think it's just Sweden that really does take the lead there. Anyway, I think it came about after they found oil, particularly. Most of those Scandinavian countries became very wealthy, and I think this affected the situation. Anyway, as far as I know, there is no, as our colleague said, there is no legislation, but it's something for which one works, and we or towards which we work. Within our party, we have a target. It's not a quota. We aim to get higher and higher, and depending on the, what we always say, it's fit for purpose, who's the best person for the job, who's going to be able to hit the deck. But personally, I was disappointed in the last election that I didn't think there were enough, and this is something I'm certainly taking to my caucus and something that we will be doing, is that we want definitely to have more women in local government, and I think local government is such an important level of government, you know, right on the ground. That's where we're really coming to their own, so I think one can have an improvement. It should be better than it is.
You know, what bothers most honorable members, we know what happened. And that's worried by the English that we use, that South Africa has steadfastly refused. When you talk about, they're talking about all of us. Honorable Chair, maybe you can.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether we can, even if we water down the language to read, South Africa has not yet adopted a legislative instrument for enforcing gender equality, which may be a minor language. But the reality is, Honorable Sir, I think it is true, we don't. We have a framework in the Constitution in terms of the Equality Clause, which actually is the first step that can enable us to move into a legislative arrangement. We do have the gender machinery, which is another second step. We've now got the Ministry of Women, but the reality, as Honorable Swewu was saying, and as the presenter was saying, there is nothing that really compels any of the political parties to meet the 50-50 gender parity. It is a gradual, you know, gradual realization. And the issue probably that she is raising is it not time that as South Africa, and maybe this being one of the areas that the Women's Caucus can push, for a firm legislation that might need to be introduced as a country to actually ensure that this equality we talk about in the Constitution becomes realizable. And I think the assessment of the 2013 barometer gives us And then I view that even though we're tied in terms of statements, in terms of commitment, but actually when it comes to the reality is that parties will always find a way to subvert that issue. If it's not capacity building, and I always say that very interesting one, because when it comes to women representation, capacity building becomes an issue, but no one has ever said men need to be capacitated. It's like naturally they are leaders, they can just lead. But women will always be something, and I think for me this mirror from the 2030 talks to us to say, do we want to retain the status quo as is, or do we want to move beyond commitment to actually having a legislation to compare. So for me, I think we can water down a bit the language, maybe not to say steadfast reviews, but just to say South Africa doesn't have a legislative instrument that compels parties to meet, you know, gender parity in terms of its nomination processes or whatever. I think we can say that so that it doesn't become steadfast. But the reality is that we don't have. No matter how nice you can put it, are you good?
Yeah. You know, my concern is not about the intentions, and I understand why you are doing it. In fact, it has been a concern for us for quite some time. The issue that is raised by Madam Robinson about the merits and everything, these are some of the things that are very much accurate. I understand, but I really would like to say that to me it's very harsh. We work so hard.
I'm sitting up to the point. Just quickly, we should have made this. But I just want to say the issue of Finland, Honorable Robinson, it's Finland that has come up with a law, and that law was issued with a male finance minister who issued it to companies. I mean, they have moved very far with women being representative in parliament. I was not talking about parliament. I was talking about private sector business refusing to allow women to be chairpersons of boards. In South Africa, we're not even there. In the ASE, how many companies have women as board and chairpersons of board? It's government that is trying in the parallel to get chairpersons to be women. But private companies is zero. So then that country, Finland, decided to have a law that deregister companies from the stock exchange. And then that companies put women there. They found those women claiming that there were no women to be there to represent them. And I'm still saying it is true that legislation forces people to do what we have to do. So we need a legislation in South Africa. Period.
Yeah. Thank you, Honorable Member. Yeah, I do agree with you that we really need a legislation, high time that we need a legislation. Nobody has said that. I've said that. Yeah, but I just wanted to comment about the switching thing. You know, I don't know, but you know what? I think we were in band when we were talking about the Beijing 10 years after the Beijing platform of action. They were very much surprised about South Africa's representative. And those were parliamentarians. I don't know, maybe when we deal with these issues, we'll have to unpack all the things that we say about other countries, vis-a-vis South Africa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I give over the soft copy, I'll rework the language, soften it a bit.
We don't want to fight these people off and say, no, 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 we don't want this. At the end of the day, we need to coerce them. We need them to support us. And also, you know, I think because of this factor from RWTC's point of view, as I kept on saying for the whole day, out of the 43 articles, we identify only one, the Dublin. 28 cases, we have Dublin, from 2008 up to now. And out of the Dublin, so we took one component of its representation. You were not here to listen in the morning when we were talking today. We have 56, and then what? We are almost there, South Africa, and then move back again. But I want to say, the whole presentation on the 2030, I've taken out the copy of the barometer. It covers the whole, all the layers, but my presentation was based on the legislative sector and what we were prioritizing in the region. And also the country took the cue in the legislative parliament from it. But having said that, other representation, but also participation, the question, where are those women? The question that the chairperson was asking, what women is a visionary? We talked about it at length in the morning. How many of them have moved to be the cabinet? All of those questions. And then chairperson, I will soften the language before I give it over to your researchers. But I want to say, as the researchers, we need to follow the barometer. I didn't put this one of 2013 taking from granted that we all have it, but we can have it from the general interest website. What I have included is the executive summary and the preamble of the 2014, which is supposed to guide our plan, what we do beyond now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Now, do we have anyone else?
No.
Where are we now? I thought when I said the last item, I thought we are talking about the post-2015 gender agenda conversation. Is that what said we have done already? Okay. Yes. What I referred to this when we were talking about what was it? I said you could maybe slot it in here. I don't remember very well, but it was raised by one of the magistrates. It was about the land, and you reported there. That's where you recited when the Honourable Chairperson came about the responsibility you had. I don't know whether you can recite that.
Honorable Macheke was talking about the land as an issue, land ownership as an issue. What can we do about it as the caucus? Is there any role we can play? My response was, over and above that we are in this caucus, we are also members of various committees. We can take issues being discussed here to our own committees. And Chairperson immediately also added that it's an issue that we can take it forward to the House. Am I correct? An issue that can be debated. And also given our role for lobbying and advocacy, we can lobby around it. We can advocate around it. Perhaps it's one of the things, some of the things we need to discuss. And also I thought also, Chairperson, we were to discuss also, I know I gave it quickly, the barometer, the SADC region, what the SADC region wants to focus on. I thought we would interact also with the five areas and see where the Parliament of South Africa can fit in.
some responses on the first one, gender response governance. Uyabona ke uzamthatha uphethe niyosebenza nonke.
Honorable Chair. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just wanted to go back to the issue you're raising earlier, that maybe one of the things that the researchers of COCAS, or of the committee rather, can do is to look at the current legislation. What are those issues that impact on women negatively, so that they bring to the Women's Caucus for discussion today, so that we can see how we look at those. What are the legislations that are on the pipeline? There may be legislations that different committees are bringing to the House that may be debated in the committees, to see to what extent they've got a negative or even a positive impact on women, so that if there's a positive impact on women, we can actually support those committees. If there's a negative impact, we can also make input, so that we don't lose track of the things that may be happening in the various committees, and maybe as women collectively we can have an input. So that's part of the support that our research team can help us with, so that we have a constant monitoring of legislation and policy within Parliament to see to what extent these issues have a positive impact in assisting us to move the gender agenda forward. I was just using the land question issue, but I'm saying there may be many issues that may arise in legislation, so that we don't wait until it's late. This is the number, how we can change that. So part of our role would be to really monitor what is happening within the parliamentary program and the various committees, so that when there is a need for us to make an impact, or even sensitize women in those committees to say, please take note of this issue because of 1, 2, 3 consequences as we see it. Thanks.
According to this program here, we are fast coming to the end of the day's work. Maybe I first of all hear the chief raise them. Is there any
and as a country out of this area, which area do we want to look at? How do we get ready for that area? And how do we get ready when we're selected that as a strategy for 2016 and beyond? This is what we'll be looking at. Have our cities in place. I don't know whether I'm interested.
Madam Nomkit, you are making sense. This is one of the things I wanted to give recommendation for your 5 points. I'm quite aware that you cannot respond now. If you look at them, these are most of the things somewhere in the morning we have touched on. The economic climate, justice, women's rights, voice communication and gender management. I was going to make a recommendation to, you are trying to reorganize the program for tomorrow. I'm going to request Madam Mkita whether we can place it somewhere where we can have a broad discussion. Having the content person together with you, maybe dealing on item to item and broadly so that we can have discussion. That's right. Yeah. Because these are not issues we can just let go over. I think because I know you have to go back to the report, and within your report you must have to say within the 40 parameters and the South African Convention. I don't know whether I'm making myself clear. That was the recommendation I was going to do before we close. The other thing,
what I was not clear about from Nomkita, you said these five issues is what the FADC has identified as a barometer. So you are expecting that each country within it must identify what they would focus on as developing a system for monitoring or maybe as working on this. I'm just saying I wasn't here, Shane. They are presented, but I'm not sure why we must choose. It does not take away your recommendation, but I just wanted to start it.
Okay. Honorable member, if you still remember, I said the barometer 2014. It's civil society, the executive, the gender union, trying to get ready for the period beyond 2015. They are reflecting on the Standard Gender Protocol. That is what we have at the document present. It has got 43 articles, including monitoring and evaluation, all the buildings, including 28 targets. Now they are reflecting, saying, is it not too broad to have the 28 targets? And then after discussion, global, continental, the region, I think it was civil society, and also it was presented also to the Minister of Gender. But okay, how about the region collapse some of these 28 targets into 5 clusters? Then they broke it down as we have requested to indicators. We have in our plan those indicators, saying for us, we need, when we plan it, to feel along those lines. If we are present as the legislative sector in the region, we are not meant to prioritize, to say this is what we want to do beyond 2015. Maybe this can be imposed upon us and say this is what we have decided upon. The IWPC met in June, we never looked at this, because it only came after June, and of course, as the Secretariat, our new also. As a result, hence I'm saying we need to have a strategic plan.
to reflect and say, how do we want the Strategic Gender Protocol to look like beyond 2015? So that would be our input to say, how do we want to look like? And if we say, for instance, we're looking at gender responsive government, you go to the document, I have it, it's also the indicators. I know the Honorable behind me said, you haven't spoken about infrastructure. Honorable Chairperson, in the morning there was something talking about paving, but even the paving in the parliament does not allow ladies to work with stilettos within the parliament. So is this the kind of government that we want? What are the things that we are thinking of? He said, well, we want to get ready, but we can't get ready about something that we have not come to grips with it. But for now, we are fortunate because we are planning for 6 months. Not so. We have a 6 month business plan. But also the 6 month business plan, we have this at the back of our mind. But when we plan, we have these 5 areas that we need to get. Maybe it can be a component of our planning that we continue reflecting what is happening in the region. What I see, I don't know how much previously did we as a women's caucus use the protocol in terms of our planning. Not saying the blueprint, but it's nice that whatever we do, we're able to say, are we addressing the protocol?
I think you are. You are making sense. I don't know. Maybe to other people.
Okay, Masha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm clear. My only disadvantage is that, in fact, even when I was looking at those themes, I call them themes or clusters, maybe if we can have the original document so that we don't lose. Let me check the second one. Economic and climate justice. What were the original indicators or targets that were grouped together to come up with that theme or that cluster, so that we don't lose them? If we can have just that to the original document, it will assist us to identify so that we don't lose some of the things that we are supposed to be doing.
I think it's
really
challenging for now. In our page, we have the executive summary of the protocol 2014. Now is the time. 2015 is calling. We have also the preamble, that all I said, but we have also chapter by chapter, so many chapters in the website. I'm sure your researchers can give you. And also responding to the question you are asking, that you don't want to lose what was there before. All these things are taken from the subject gender protocol. I think Brian has just distributed to the members the declaration and the protocol itself. So when we look at them, you'll be able to say, oh, they measure the two, or we are not in agreement as the sector, legislative sector, when we meet at the region, that is the two should be measured. Or you can come up with your own. But what is important is that we should not be found there, napping. We are not ready, we don't know what is happening. So you have two of those documents, the strategic declaration and the protocol, and also the executive summary of the 2014. If you go to the website of GenderLinks, they have all of the chapters, just like this one, 2013 Gender Barometer. I use it a lot when I do my own planning. Chapters, allow me, I don't know, you said you had budget. I don't know. But that may be something that we think of if we feel, hey, we're going to stretch our limited resources. I know some other countries, they do a lot of fundraising through UN Women. Maybe something there, maybe that we can consider. We ask them to fund our thinking, the getaway strategy to think beyond 2015. I know they support all those initiatives, but let's go with it. We put together a proposal that will help us to do the reflections, to look at the protocol and 2014, so that we can decide, we know where we are going. I don't know whether it's allowed in this panel.
Okay, that's it then. Are you satisfied?
we've got all these documents here. That is the reason why I have sent it to the content person and the research. Yes, because I think there are too many areas for now. We've got a very short time. Having said so, before we even go to closing remarks, I don't know what was it. It's just written closing. I don't know whether it's remarks or. We have a program for the morning. I done with it. I don't want to put the honorable chair on the spot. I wanted to know from you whether you spoke. Okay. In Lokdo Bashedi, I'm just outspoken. We had this program for the second day, and we had our honorable chair was going to give us a keynote as tomorrow. And I wanted to say this is a very important item, the one that of the five areas. Stanley, can we prioritize this after the keynote? Before we go on to the other area, so that you don't lose it, not confused by the other things that you're going to discuss. Is that fine with you for tomorrow? And also, I want to really say I thank people who managed to come today. I'm on the closing now. But I want to talk about what transpired this morning in the presence of the chair, so that she can understand what Chris Cummings will come across as this committee. We have applied for these 2 days, chair, and we couldn't apply for Tuesday and Wednesday because of the holiday that we have. And we have asked for permission from the chief whip of the majority party in terms of today being an organization day. And everything was done, and we had the chair of chairs approving everything. And we have invited our members. I know that there are other programs in Parliament, and we don't expect everyone to be here. But I am just bothered about the fact that we have people who are even members of the steering committee who choose to go to other committees and will tell us, as you know, at the eve of this, that they are not coming. That is what I mean, because they are supposed to lead here. And if you were here this morning, everybody just said that the members of this multi-party women caucus are not doing justice to this committee. And it has been the downfall of this committee always, each and every time. And I don't think we are going to allow. I don't see any reason why some of the people decided to go to, what is that prison that's been? Sun City, because we have again our experience in Sun City. Now we are locked up here in this old assembly, at the airport. But I don't think it's fair. I think we mustn't have this, I think.
part very much. And I also want to speak to our staff. Tomorrow we are going to be setting up with our
we have a committee assistant, what is called Akamaba Mani, committee assistant. But suppose to deal with the transporting of members from the airport and from the village. It was quite chaotic this morning. Because by the time we're supposed to be here, that committee assistant didn't even know where we stay in our respective villages. I, for one, had to hire a shuttle to come here because I cannot host and expect them to be here at 9 o'clock. And that was very irresponsible. We don't want to expect them. Yeah, I'm saying this, I'm going to say this in front of the Honorable Chair, so that all of us must be responsible. We must do our work, and we must get it down to the community. It has so many problems, it has had so many problems, it had, you know, but now that we are going to allow even women to snap this community, just for that. That's what I want to say. I hope we are going to take this committee very seriously, and the seriousness is with those few words. Thank you very much for attending. Chair, you were not here, Honorable Chair of the House. I'm very proud of the women that we have here. The one that tomorrow, buzz out and this room, sell it away, and you are going to be shocked. Yeah, I really want to feel that, you know, we've got the achievement in time. We just have to be serious. Thank you, everybody, thank you. I think we'll see each other tomorrow. I think the lady is dealing with the transport to the villages. Mrs. Robinson, thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Barry.